Now, the way in which this marriage worked is very interesting. Here are two absolute innocents, these two youngsters. They are absolutely infatuated with each other. Their first night together in marriage, they do not touch each other. And yet, the girl that next morning feels herself to be his wife, and she gives him her castle. Second night, the same. Third night, he remembers mother said to take a kiss from the girl. And so they touched. And as Wolfram's very gentle and sweet, he says, and they found it sweet. And from that on, that was their custom. The point is that the marriage took place in the psyche first, and the physical realization was the fulfillment of a spiritual marriage. It did not work the other way. Well, after a while with her, I think you see that we are arriving in a new kind of world here. He rides forth to see how his mother is. Well, actually, when he had ridden away from her, she had followed him down the path a little while, stumbled, and fallen dead. She was dead. He did not know it. He rides forth to find his mother. Situation A, Parsifal has already become the world's greatest knight. That is to say, he has achieved the world's praise. He doesn't know it yet. With that power in him, of life in full flower, he is riding, questing for his mother, when he comes to a lake, and floating on the lake is a boat, and in the boat are two men fishing. One, the fisher king, with plumes of the peacock flowing from his helmet. The peacock is a bird that sheds its feathers in the winter time and gets them back again, and so, as it were, imitates the round of the seasons. The peacock's tail with those eyes is symbolic of the night heavens. It's a universal bird. Also, the single eye in the feather is that single eye here, which is the interior eye of a passage to the spiritual realm. So it's a bird of great import. And the king is fishing, and he looks very sad. The youth asks, is there a place to live that I can put up for the night? And the king says, if you'll go up that path, turn left, ride up the hill, and don't have misadventure and lose your way, you will find a castle. Call to them, and I'll meet you there. This is the Grail Castle. This whole place is an apparition that has appeared to him because he's ready for it. People have ridden through that wilderness time and time again and never encountered the castle. He has seen the castle. It is his castle, his destiny. He is in readiness, and he enters. Well, he is received, and this great procession takes place, and the king is lying there wounded. Why is the king wounded? Now, here's a point again. This king, whose name is Anfortas, it's from a French word, infirmate, which means, an old French word, which means infirmity. He had received his position by inheritance. He had not earned it. Here again we have this business of just receiving by anointment. As a young man, like all young men, he had been moved to love, and he had ridden forth with the war cry, Amor. That is not proper for the Grail King. The Grail King should have got past that. So he was riding forth in the way of the day with the war cry, Amor. And he had encountered a heathen who had ridden from the gates of paradise in quest of the Grail, with the Grail name written on his spear. And those two had encountered. And the heathen had wounded the knight, he had wounded the king, he had pierced him through the genitals. The king had been emasculated by that spear. He had lost even his biological virility, let alone his spiritual. And the king had killed the heathen. So here the pair of opposites, nature and the spirit, in collision with each other as they were in the Middle Ages in Europe, had brought about the wasteland. The king's whole land was laid waste by this terrific blow. The king manages to get back to his castle and is brought to behold the Grail, which keeps people alive.